Welcome to Coding Talks podcast with myself Vishnu Vijay. Coding Talks is a podcast which is available on all leading podcast platforms including Spotify, Amazon Music and Apple Music. Feel free to listen from any one of your favorite podcast platforms as you like. Myself a .NET programmer from Thiruvananthapuram, Kerala state, which is on the southernmost part of India. I work with the different cloud technologies like AWS and Azure. I am a community builder for AWS Storage, and for past 3 years, I'm a community builder, and also I do have an YouTube channel which is as of the same name as this podcast. Then there is a meetup group called Coding Talks Cloud Computing. The registration is free, and if you register, you will get upcoming notifications of all the sessions. All the sessions that I took, I had in the past are available on my YouTube channel. Those are live stream sessions, so those will be the recordings of those sessions will be available from my YouTube channel. If you are interested, feel free to check it out, and also the podcast as well. A lot of episodes are there which might be interesting to you, so feel free to check it out. And thank you very much for listening this podcast and supporting. All the opinions that I expressed through this podcast are purely personal and do not represent any of the employer's view in any way. With that, we can start talking today about the one of the AI code suggestion service from AWS, which is called the Amazon Code Whisperer. This is a kind of a AI-based code suggestion tool which you can integrate in within your IDE, supported IDEs, and then you can get feedbacks about your code, just like a pair programmer help you to write better coding. So we will be covering or discussing about that service in today's session. We will go a bit deep into this service in particular and understand how it works, how it actually helps an organization as well as an individual, and we will see the different aspects of that, how it can fit in your organization. Let's start off with some of the challenges that every developer or everyone who is interested with development phase nowadays. One of the main challenges is to learn multiple frameworks and multiple programming languages. You know, I am a .NET programmer, but that doesn't mean I just have to limit to .NET. Being in the industry, we need to be aware of different cloud technologies, their APIs. Then even in .NET itself, there are various frameworks, different versions, and also recently .NET Core, that too have different APIs and different approaches. So this means that even within the .NET framework or .NET domain, a developer needs to be aware of all these things, plus some of the cloud technologies. Like if the organization is using AWS, then need to aware about its services, its best practices. Then security considerations and all. Then the similarly other different APIs. This actually is a kind of a challenge, which if you analyze, you can understand that it creates a lot of learning curve for the developer. And it's not just limited to developer. Whoever who has some direct or indirect relationship with the coding language face this kind of challenge. I am explaining this from the perspective of .NET, but it doesn't mean that only .NET has this limitation. Even if you take any other language, say for example JavaScript, it has different variations, like different frameworks and libraries like React, then the Angular's different versions. Similarly, JavaScript has different ways to write. You can write in pure JavaScript, or if you prefer TypeScript, you can do in that way. Then coming to the backend side, there are different database systems, NoSQL systems, RDB systems. Then the coming to the storage section, there are different others. So altogether, the main point is that there will be multiple programming languages, there will be multiple frameworks and libraries, which we need to be aware of at least to some extent. In this case, as someone who has this knowledge, if they can work with you while developing, it would really be helpful. So that brings me to talk about the concept of or methodology of pair programming, where someone who has some idea or familiarity about development will sit with us and help us in coding. Imagine one of your friend is sitting with you, co-programming with you while you are actually doing the coding. That person will watch how you code and try to understand the context of that. And sometimes you can expect that person will know something. Oh, hey, you're going this way. We need to go this way and all. And also sometimes they can provide suggestions. It is up to you as a programmer to accept that suggestion or to discard that. But the point is, such a pair programming strategy can help you to improve the code. Personally, many times I felt like when someone who sits with us and help us in coding, that would be on a different level. This code whisperer, which we are going to try to talk in this session today, Amazon service, managed service, this is similar to a kind of a person, but this is a kind of a more or like a virtual person. So you don't get the advantage of a actual person sitting with you and help you, because that will have a kind of a human touch, which has some kind of a factor more than a virtual assistant. But the thing is, like, getting a such kind of a person available for pair programming is not easy, and organization to have such kind of a pair programming model, it is difficult. So what we now have is, through the introduction of AI, especially the generative AI, a tool called the Code Whisperer is available from Amazon, which can connect with your IDE or your development environment, and then it can provide you suggestions as you code through. That's in nutshell about the Code Whisperer service. It understands the context of what you are programming based on the existing GitHub public code and the training data that Amazon provided to the service, as well as your code context. Your code context means that you as a developer will install an extension to your IDE. As of now, various IDEs are supported, but the one I would like to mention at this time of recording is the Visual Studio Code extension. Visual Studio Code is a lightweight extension available from Microsoft, which can be installed in any one of your operating system. Like if you have a Mac OS, you can install that. And the benefit of using that is it's open source and it's free to use even in an enterprise setting. And also the Code Whisperer has a extension also available for Visual Studio Code. That means once you create an account in Code Whisperer, which needs an Amazon account, then you can straight away use the service for free. If you are an individual, you can use that for free. If you are using this service within an organization context, then you may need to pay a fixed amount, which the pricing details as of now is around $10, which you can cross check by checking out the Amazon Code Whisperer pricing details. It can change in point of time. For an organization, if you pay that amount and you can use Whisperer, and if you are an individual, the good thing is that as of now Whisperer is free to use. You just need to create a service, create an account in Code Whisperer for free. No need to provide any credit card or any other detail. the account which you tied to Code Whisperer, even though it's an AWS service, still you don't need an AWS console account or root account to access this Whisperer. It is entirely different, and what instead you need is an Amazon account, just like an Amazon account you used for login to the Prime service or the Amazon shopping website. You might have already have an account. That account you can use to connect to the Whisperer as well. Once you create an account specific to the Code Whisperer using your existing Amazon account, some extra details you may need to provide, like the terms and agreement and all you need to read and go through that. And then finally, it will provide you the documentation on how to connect your existing IDE to the Whisperer service. So that connection is important. You need to do that first once, and rest of that the extensions will take care of. How you connect to the extension is, you need to open up your Visual Studio Code. It is ideal to update with the latest version of Visual Studio Code and go to the extensions in Visual Studio Code, search for AWS Toolkit and install that AWS Toolkit. If you install that, you will get an access to the AWS tool, and if you click on that, you can find the Code Whisperer option. If you click there, it will prompt you to log in to the Code Whisperer using the account that you created. It will open up in a browser, and then you need to provide some details, and then finally you are connected. Now your extension which is there within your IDE will connect to the Whisperer behind the scene. What it does is, like, it will send an encrypted form, a set of lines while you code, like a set of pre-lines before what you are coding, and maybe some lines within the context of your application. So the more files you open within Visual Studio Code, and if those files have the related code samples that you use in your project, then the Whisperer can identify the context of what you are trying to achieve, and then it can provide you better suggestion. At this stage, many people might be thinking Whisperer is actually sending data to a different, the extension is sending data to the Code Whisperer. Will it cause any security concerns, especially where IPR is a main factor for most of the organization? For them to keep the code secure is a must part of the governance and compliance rule. For this point, you need to understand that for the organization, Code Whisperer has an option to enable. You can enable that option so that your code won't be used for the Whisperer suggestions further. So this Whisperer actually, to understand this, you need to understand about how the Code Whisperer works behind the scene. We understood that the extension provides some context of your application, a set of few lines, say 15 to 20 lines of code to the Whisperer service. But to generate, for the Whisperer service to generate some suggestion, it needs to have an underlying mechanism. The underlying mechanism is what is called as generative AI. Generative AI is the current evolution of artificial intelligence, where there is a machine language model behind the scene which can generate content for you. In the earlier predecessor of this generative AI, there was the concept called natural language processing, where you can provide some instructions to the software system and it can understand the intent of what you want to achieve. Alexa and other services work in this way. Then the further advancement came, like RNN, which involves a kind of an understanding of the context using the memory. But further, now the current advancement is like a generative AI, where it uses a concept called the attention. The way how it works is, like, it has a large language model which is trained, and it has the capability of processing power, parallel processing power. So when you provide something to this kind of services, like generative AI services, it understands the context of what you are trying to achieve, and then it will try to provide some suggestion. Exactly like a human who has the capability of understanding, by learning more and more, the humans can provide more suggestion. So if you talk to someone like some word, they can understand it in the context of current situation. So if you say someone like, I want to go to this place, then immediately based on the context that person understand, they will say like, okay, I understood you going to that place for buying these items and all. Because the previous memory and other things is there, and our human brain and the neural systems are so complex that it can process this massive information within a matter of seconds. So similar way, the underlying GPT model and its processing capabilities, parallel processing capabilities, can understand the intent of the provider or the prompt provider. We call in this case the context in this case as prompt. So that is the more accurate way for a word for the generative AI context. The better we provide a prompt. Prompt, you can think of a kind of a set of words or sentences which the whisperer can understand, or the generative AI can understand what you're trying to intend, and it can be a simpler natural language. So that's the power of this underlying machine language model. It has the capability to understand your intention from the natural language comments which you can provide through the IDE, as well as you also provide a kind of a standard naming conventions for the methods, and the underlying whisperer service can understand the context of what you're trying to achieve through the function, method, name and signature as well. This means that if you are trying to write a JavaScript file to call an S3 bucket, which is one of the service in Amazon, it will immediately prompt like whether you want to download something from there and save it to a file or show, or whatever suggestions, you can save it to a CSV file or something. So that way it understands your context, what you are intent through these prompt. So here in this case, the prompt is like the method signature as well as through the comments, and then it will provide the suggestion. So behind the scene, this code whisperer has a kind of a machine language model which is trained by Amazon based on a large set of data, and it has the capability of parallel processing as well, so that it can provide you the suggestions based on that. Keep in mind that this service is, even though it's nearly 1 year old, still it's the generative AI as a whole, not just this whisperer. The generative AI as whole is a kind of a it's in its beginning stages. So at times you can expect like sometimes the suggestions may not be accurate. The way by which the whisperer does is like it will provide the suggestion in a form of kind of an ambient light font, so that it doesn't affect the developer productivity or the interaction. It will show the suggestions just kind of an inline suggestion which you can see in tools like Visual Studio, and then it is up to you to accept that suggestion or not. Sometimes the suggestions, when you go through that suggestion, you might be feeling like, okay, this is not accurate, and you can continue the coding without minding about the suggestions at all. Or if you can check for further suggestions, you can use the arrow key and check for further suggestions. At time when you want to accept the suggestions as it is, then you can accept it. So this one I tried. I tried initially, like I tried something like a function space call from S3 bucket and store to CSV. Then automatically it identifies the intent and it provides a suggestion. It provides a comment like, okay, you want to achieve this one. So if you hit tab, then we are providing a prompt to the whisperer that, okay, what you are suggesting is accurate, please go ahead. So it's just like a pair programmer who sits along with us and provides suggestions, and we will ask them, okay, I know that you understand this more and please provide me suggestion. So this way, with the help of an underlying training model, which we call in this case generative AI context as foundation models. So there is the concept of large language model and foundation model. Both are kind of similar. The large language models are very huge in size. It is trained based on a large set of data, but the foundation model is a kind of an subset of these large language model, which is based, this subset is based on specialization, means for code suggestions, a foundation model, for weather forecasting or customer interaction, some other foundation model. So this way, instead of having a large language model, which is difficult to accommodate, specialized models are also nowadays more popular. This whisperer behind scene, there is a foundation model which is trained by Amazon based on public code repositories and also the code that you provide. It doesn't use the code for providing any suggestions unless you specifically mention that. Most of the cases, the suggestions will be based on the public GitHub code. But at but same time, I noticed on behavior, like for example, if you have a code where you want to call the S3 bucket file in a, say, in a particular way, like with a particular namespace and all, and then it should, you want to list that in a, with in a kind of a peculiar way, like you want to have some structure of that name and you want to append something as a prefix to the file name, and you might have already written a function in that case. If that is the case, if you already have an existing implementation of a particular method, then existing implementation of a particular service connection, then code whisperer will, along with the public code, it will consider your code as well, and it provide the suggestion from your code. Your code will get the highest priority, so it will provide the suggestion from your code, and if you don't accept that, then other forms of suggestion which the whisperer knows will be shown to you. So it is advisable to keep the tabs open of all the related files while you use Whisperer, so that it will get an underlying context of what you want to achieve. This means that if you know better code than what the public GitHub code uses, then, and if you are confident of that one, you can, you will definitely get that suggestion, provided if you used that method, if you implemented that method already in your code base. This is another one area that I want to highlight, especially when using inside organization. When using inside organization, some organizations has complaints like we should use our own existing code, which are used in other projects. So in that case, then currently there is no direct provision for you to specify, okay, get the code from my code base or this repo and all. So that provision is not there. The only thing which you can do as of now is like to open the context of that project, especially in Visual Studio Code and Visual Studio Professional. You have the option to open the solution, and all the projects related to that solution will be available, so that the underlying service will get the code suggestion services like Whisperer will get a context of what you want to achieve through that one. Hope you got a bit of idea about it. I know that if you are new to the generative AI, you may not be familiar with all the concepts, but in this context, I like to, especially for those who are not familiar with this Whisperer, maybe at least familiar with the ChatGPT applications, which is nowadays popular. This ChatGPT is also a kind of a generative AI which interacts with the people in a chat format. So the underlying model is called the GPT-3, and it's part of the OpenAI Foundation. OpenAI developed this, and they made an API as well as an UI, so that customers can interact to the underlying model through the chat interface. This Code Whisperer is similar to that. It uses the underlying GPT model plus some trainings that Amazon provided for code optimization. But this model is a foundation model. It's not exactly the GPT-3 model. It's based on GPT-3 with understanding about how to accept the user inputs and natural processing, because we in comments may not be providing exactly the way by which the Whisperer wants to understand. We provide something like how we communicate to a friend, and the underlying model, the GPT based interaction model, will be able to understand the context. And also that GPT-3 model enough just is not enough, because you know it checks some of the public code repositories and can provide the suggestions, as you can see from the ChatGPT application. It can provide you code and all, definitely it can help, but more trainings are provided by Amazon on top of that model, so that it will be work in a better way. And also trainings related to using especially the Amazon AWS services, how to use the AWS services, and how what all excellent standards that you need to be aware of. Based on Amazon standards, they have trained to these models. This means that while you using the services, you get the advantage of all those trainings in a suggestion format. This will be helpful for everyone, not just for the experienced programmers. Many people will have the idea that okay, this kind of Code Whisperer services is suitable for an experienced candidate. If it is given to a new person who is new into the code base, then it may not be that much useful, and sometimes they can misuse the service as well. So that we can understand the sense behind their thinking in that way, because like every person, people are of different nature. So some person may not be in that much interested in coding or any other activity, so they may do this kind of a routine job, and then they will try to do something just for a namesake to complete their activities. We could see such people as well in almost every places. So there is a chance like that. So usually the organization fear to include this kind of tool, because whether it will, they will blindly use the suggestions provided by Whisperer, and will it affect? Yes, the thing is, like, the person who use these tools, like the AI tools, should use it in a responsible way, so that the benefit can be achieved. If we are using it in a wrong way, then definitely that won't be helpful. The Whisperer is aimed to provide you like a kind of a pair programmer tool, kind of a virtual pair programmer tool, which can help you to assist coding based on a large set of data. In the beginning of the session, we were talking about a pair programming concept, where someone who want to provide you suggestions, sit with you and provide suggestion. Maybe that person can be an experienced person or not. The fact with the Code Whisperer is that it is trained based on billions of code, and it is also continually training goes on as well. Its incremental updates will also be applied to the managed service. So this is a managed service. This means that while we use this, we get the advantage of all those things, and in a way better than a co-programmer who sits along with us, because a co-programmer may not be aware of, co-programmer or peer programmer who sits with us may not be fully aware of all the different things. So this tool can definitely help in that area. And then usually when the developer develops a feature and then do testing of that, and finally will raise a pull request to merge that changes to the code base, at that time someone who is a senior person should review the code and provide suggestions. Sometimes the review can be kind of a core review as well, like you will tell someone who is your colleague to do a quick checking of all the codes that you have done. So that's called a kind of a peer review. It need not be like an experienced person. Everyone can review each other's code, but it should be a different person who should be doing the review. So then the challenge comes to that reviewer is like he or she may be busy in some other activities and this review also needs to be done. Then may or may not be even if it is the responsibility of the reviewer to do a detailed review, still there are times where the review may not go to that much depth, and there is a possibility that bugs can happen or the application may not function in a way as we expect. So bugs can happen. So usually even after review, sometimes we notice bugs. So it's because of the way by which, because of these deadlines and other activities to meet and everyone is busy. In that area also, so in the review side also, we were talking about the developer side, it definitely helps like providing suggestion. But from the review side also, this Whisperer can help in a way because the reviewer also will be having this installed there. So he can try like what suggestions are getting, and he can also check that with the documentation to see whether the suggestions that is provided by the Whisperer is actually helpful or not. And so that way can ensure like everything is has a quality and review can be ensured done in a proper way. The Whisperer terms and agreements mentions like we should be the, it's up to the person's responsibility who is doing the coding and the review person's responsibility to ensure the quality and security of the application. Though the Whisperer will provide some of the suggestions and it helps us in achieving in a optimistic way. Still, there are cases because the service being early and it's still in its developing stage, there are chances where sometimes it goes wrong. Not at all cases, majority of the time it will work in a current way, but if there's chance that somewhere it goes wrong, then the developer or the reviewer should use it responsibly and ensure the quality. So it should be treated like a kind of a peer programming or pair programming only, and not as a kind of a full-fledged code, ready-made code developing tool, code suggested tool which you can blindly trust on. So the main point is like use the code suggested by the Whisperer, but just check it, validate it whether it is correct or not, and then use it. So responsibly using, it's a must for every programmer. And if this is getting introduced in an organization, then this idea of this tool as a pair programmer should be stressed enough so that no one will misunderstood this as a kind of a tool which provides you blind code and we can use it straight away in our application. But if you use that responsibly, then whoever who is connected with the development activities will be benefit from this Whisperer for sure. Even though when I try to use this service initially, I have some feelings about, okay, this will happen, this problem will happen, does it limit the creativity or not. But if you use that in a proper way by providing proper prompt and at the same time you evaluate what it is suggesting, then the benefits of a proper pair programming will be you can experience that with the help of the Whisperer tool. And also couldn't confirm a proper percentage or metrics on how this can help, but when I tried to use this for around a few weeks, I found it very good, and it's quite good. Like especially when you are trying to work on to a service which you are not mainly familiar, but width, but you have some idea about that. For example, you have some idea about using the Azure storage, which is a kind of a blob object storage in a service from Azure. You may be an Azure person who is familiar with getting the data from the blob storage and writing it to a local folder, but you are not sure how this will work in the AWS or GCP. In that case, you can provide a command like I want a function which reads from the AWS S3 storage. So instead of Azure, we will provide the prompt like read from the AWS S3 storage and store as a CSV. So the code whisperer will behind the scene understand your intent and it will provide the suggestion. So that will be definitely helpful, and also especially if you have some vague idea about how to do thing, then the details regarding how to achieve that can be provided by the whisperer. So this can help not just a developer, every person who is interacting with the service in a development with the development related activities can quite benefit from this. Then the architects and solution architects, they sometimes want to do a POC to see whether something is working fine or not. They can try that very easily. Similarly, for review purpose also, this can be helpful. And those who have an interest, actual interest to come into the IT and development field may find this tool invaluable, because initially when you know the way by which usually in every universities and other institutions how they teach programming is like they will try to teach the basics like C or C++, and there are arguments in favor of that and not, but personally what I felt is like when trying to teach a complex concept like the C++ and all, because it's not a proprietary one, most of the universities try to include either the Java or this kind of C++ tool as a part of their curriculum. The problem that I felt with that kind of approach is like those languages, not telling particularly to Java, but the C++ especially, it takes some time to understand properly, and C# is much easier than that one. So everyone may not be familiar with that kind of approach where C++ one should start to understand, because everyone may not be that much have the capability or logical understanding of behind the scene working of C++ and then can move into a new language. So for such person, this kind of tools definitely help for them to get a feel of how the new programming language will looks like, and they can easily switch. Now with the advent of this whisperer like tool, more people become platform independent. Like a few years back, there would be when you ask some programmer what you are doing, they will be saying something like a .NET programmer or Java programmer. Still many will be saying like that, but going forward, the concept of language and the frameworks becomes irrelevant, and maybe they will something called like a UI developer, and with the help of this kind of tools, a UI developer who is familiar with the JavaScript can do much of the code in different other languages as well. So with the help of this whisperer, you will be able to generate a JSX file or even an HTML file. You can provide prompt to the whisperer that I want a HTML page with this much tables, columns and rows and headers, and then you can even provide something like we should use a bootstrap. If you want to bind some data to that, you can write that, provide that as well, like colon API and get the data and bind it to the set. So straight away, you at all times, you may not get the full code, but most of the time you will get code whisperer will try to provide you the code. So the main point is like when you initially start with this service, once you connected, you may be expecting like, okay, I want this one and it will provide the code, but that is not the case. You should start. I also felt that way when I initially started into the code whisperer, and then after some time I understood like we should not too much focus on this Whisperer at all. We should focus on our coding and what we want to achieve. Then that time, the suggestions can be really meaningful and useful for you. This can be used for ops related activities, especially ops, DevOps people. Even though they have some idea about the development, many may not be familiar with the language at all. So even for trivial tasks like shutting down a VM or to generate a YAML, they may be looking into a lot of documentation, and at times they need to go through different forums, Stack Overflow like sites, to understand how it is working. And if you look at the MSDN side, the documentation may not be that much easier in most of the cases. A bit complex, I felt, when compared to Amazon documentation. Amazon documentation is in a way far better and clear to the point. AWS documentation. So if one have this kind of a tool along with their ID, this would be really helpful. Now we will look into some other area, like the infrastructure team or other teams, whether they want to automate something using Ansible or Puppet, they can also use this tool. Then it not just for a developer like a .NET programmer or a Java programmer, but it can also help in other areas as well. And even those who are not entirely say for example, if a stakeholder has some idea, a little bit idea of coding, but he only provide the higher level details to the team, then at times he or she can use this tool to understand about the way by which the code works, and then they can use it. So these are some of the points that I highlighted. Then let's look at some of the other features of the Whisperer. It can provide some security suggestions as well. So say for example, if you use some if you have done some programming which has some kind of a security vulnerability there, it can highlight it. Usual pattern is like someone who accidentally hard-coded the access keys into the code. Such things Whisperer can understand very easily, and it can highlight it. And if you don't use the latest APIs and the correct methods, or if you unintentionally use some depreciated methods, then that time also Whisperer can provide you the suggestion to remove that. Then bias based things, if you accidentally encountered included anywhere in your code base, that also it can bias based, like a gender specific based or something, it's not ideal to be included those kind of things in your application. So if anywhere such racial or gender specified things you unintentionally included, that also can be those things also will be highlighted by the Whisperer, which you can use for correcting. I hope this gave you a understanding about the Whisperer in action. Some of the IDEs that support, you have to look into the documentation of the Whisperer to see the supported IDEs, because you might be listening this episode at a later time. So the current supported browser, the current supported IDE for the Whisperer is as of now the Visual Studio Professional. They are actually working behind the scene, but it is not supported yet. So VS Code is the currently supported one, which you can very easily use and connect to the Whisperer and see. So try it out today itself and see how it helps. So thank you everyone for listening to this podcast, and all the opinions that I expressed through this podcast are purely personal and do not represent any of the employer's view in any way. So feel free to check out my YouTube channel as well as the Meetup group. Meetup group name is Coding Talks Cloud Computing. Please register for free and I will be get notified in all the upcoming trainings and sessions. So thank you. Have a great day ahead.